To the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. Those last two hymns that we sang really goes to the message that is before us today as we continue to go through the book of the Word of God here, 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read 8 verses this morning. I'm sure I won't get to all of them, and whatever we don't get to, we'll try to finish tonight if that would be in the plan and will of God. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." God will bless the reading of his word. Would you join my heart in prayer this morning and ask God to speak to you through his word today? Father, we're thankful for a copy of the scriptures, and we have no doubt it's the living word of God inspired by thee. And we pray, Lord, it would make a difference in our lives today, that we would receive the word of God with meekness, that we would have a meek heart, a tender heart to whatever you'd have to say to us about today. Teach us, Lord. Help us. Change our perspective. Change our mind. And we do pray, Father, if there's someone here in this building that's not a child of God, they've never been born again, they haven't repented of their sin and trusted you as their Savior, we pray today they would see their condition as you see it. And I pray they would run to the mercy and grace of God and receive the free gift of eternal life. Help your people as well, Lord, today, and we'll praise you and thank you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. He continues in 1 Peter, which is really the most often or most frequent word in Peter's epistle, is the word suffer. In some form, it occurs 17 different times in this little book of 5 chapters. And certainly the people of God in his day were suffering, but the suffering that they were going to have to endure was going to be much greater in the coming days. So the little epistle of 1 Peter is a preparatory help for them who are about to go into something even a lot deeper than they thought. And he says in verse 12, as he starts this text afresh and anew, as he's already mentioned suffering in the past, but a little deeper in these things. He says in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Suffering does not mean you're not loved. He begins verse 12 saying that they are beloved, that God does love them. But the love of God doesn't mean that you're going to be kept from pain or suffering or problem in your life. This new doctrine that Christianity is a bed of roses is not something found in the scripture. The word of God talks so much about the difficulties of living for Jesus. Somebody said difficulties of living for, that's right, the difficulties of living for Jesus. But I just want to say in regard to that, that the difficulties of not living for Jesus are a lot worse. The truth is, it doesn't matter who we are. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have trouble, we're going to have pain, we're going to have suffering, because that's just what life is about. And the reason that's what life is about is because man in the garden disobeyed God. And so we have an imperfect world and an imperfect life. And we had pain in our world, and we had pain in our lives as a result of sin. And it's just something we have to endure and deal with, whether it's if it's something I'm living for God and I'm having to do with it, or if it's just something in life that I have to endure with. Just make sure that it's not because of turning your back on the will of God and the plan of God and the Word of God, because when we disobey the Scripture, life gets a lot harder. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And life is hard enough without having a life that is harder because of our sins and our transgressions. But he writes to the believers here and he says, "Beloved, think it not strange." There's that word twice in this verse. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's funny, that some people that are saved think it's strange when they have a problem. You know, look, God has spoiled us and we have it easy, and whatever problems we have, God has not dealt with us after our sins. He has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. And the truth is that we, because we're sinners, we deserve the life that's not always easy. And it's not strange when problems come your way. And people act like, okay, everything in my life ought to be easy. That's not the way life is. And it's not going to be that way. He said, don't think it strange when you have difficulties to go through, because that's the life that everybody has to live. And that's the life that others are having to endure a lot more than maybe you are. Don't think it strange. Well, I got a problem. Well, that's not strange. Somebody else has got a problem. Well, this is hurtful and I don't know how to deal with it. Well, somebody else is having something hurtful that they're having a problem dealing with. But the great thing is that if you're saved, you've got God with you in the midst of that problem. How many people that don't have God and they have something hurtful and they have a difficult, but they don't have a God to go to help them and to lead them and guide them and to comfort them through that difficulty. It is not strange to have, don't get mad at God. The only place that there were no difficulties was in the garden before man sinned, and it was all perfect. But our lives can't be that way. You say, well, I'm trying to do right and I get mistreated. Well, that's not strange. You say, well, look at this text. I'll tell you what's strange. Not the things that come into your life, but you're the one that's strange. Look at chapter 1. That word occurred in verse 1 of chapter 1 when we started this. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the what? To the strangers. Look at chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Strangers. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Wherefore they think it what? Strange. That you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. What is strange is a Christian in this world. It's a Christian in this world that loves God and lives for God is a strange thing to the world. We're the ones, the difficulties that come in our lives aren't strange. The strange thing is our testimony to the rest of this world. They think it is very weird of anybody that would try to live their life in accordance with the Bible. That's a strange thing to society. But I tell you what, the real strange thing is our society. For 6,000 years, it has taken 6,000 years for people to get this strange. You understand what I'm saying? It has taken 6,000 years for humanity to go off the cliff in the weirdness of life. I mean, I almost get shocked sometimes at the things I read and the things I hear. You think, what can they come up with next? How strange is it? I mean, there are people marrying robots today. I mean, that's not a joke. There is a man that married a robot legally in the world. Now, if that's not strange, but we could go on and on and on. There are plenty of strange things in life. But I tell you what's not strange. It's not strange for a Christian to have a problem. Just expect it. Now, we don't want that, but that's not strange for us to have difficulty. Matter of fact, it's the will of God for you to have problems. It's the will of God for you to have difficulties. Joel Osteen won't preach this, but I'll preach it to you. Go to 2 Timothy. I'll read it to you. And this is the thing. This is why so many people quit on God. They look at their life and they say, well, what's this going on? I've got to quit this. What does it pay for me to try to live a holy life or a right life or do right before God? And I got all these problems. You're going to have more problems if you quit doing right. But the hardships of life are not something that ought to cause us to run away from God, but cause us to run to God. But the hardships aren't going anywhere. 2 Timothy chapter 3, watch this. There's nothing strange, church, about the will of God. I tell you what, sometimes it seems to be strange to us. Boy, this in your will, I don't understand this. This is a difficulty. This is a problem. Why is this happening? This is strange. But anything in the plan and will of God is not strange. It's the best thing to happen, even if I can't understand it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible, chapter 3, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, would you see verse 12? Yea, and all that will live what? Godly in Christ Jesus shall, what's the next word? Suffer persecution. You say, well, preacher, I've never suffered persecution. Well, either you didn't notice it or you're not living godly. In other words, it's a normal thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's God's calling on your life. It's God's appointment on your life to go through struggle. You know, usually it takes some kind of hardship to really help us in our life. You know, if the teacher never made the class hard, you know how dumb the students will be? And I know we have a society that's changed all of that. But the thing that made me learn things when it was harder for me than just what would come naturally. I had to work at it. Had to study. I had to read. Had to do homework. I had to get a bad grade and look at that bad grade and say, man, I got to do better. And my dad said, yeah, you're going to do better, right? It took a difficulty or getting my legs knocked out from under me to give me the motivation to learn. You know what? God does that with our Christian life. If your Christian life was always easy, you know what you would do? You would never have a need to trust God. You would never have a need to get on your face and pour out your heart before God and say, God, I need your help, please. Your heart would never be broken because everything's great. We're not carried to heaven on flowery beds of ease. There are a couple presidents that of our country that people worship that I despise. But one of them, now if I say, if this is your favorite president, I'm sorry, is Thomas Jefferson. I thought they'd go over that way. But the reason I don't like Thomas Jefferson, he wrote his own Bible. That was the first one. If you're smart enough, you think you can write your own New Testament? Sorry. You think you're too smart. That's what he did. He just wrote it the way he thought it should be. Isn't that a pleasant thought? And then, you know how he grew up? He literally was carried around. He was very rich, which no sin about that. But he was very rich, but he was carried around the family farm by the slaves on pillows. Ushered around, carried like that. Can I say something? It is good for you to have to sweat. It is good for you to have to hurt. It teaches you things that you can't learn any other way. Amen. So now apply that to what we're talking about. I didn't just give that illustration for nothing. You know what God does for you? He turns the heat up on you. You know why? Because he's trying to make you like Jesus. He's trying to better your life. He's trying to bring some character in your life. And instead of stepping back and say, why is this happening? We ought to come to God and say, God, help me to enter into more of what Jesus is. Because guess what? He didn't have it easy. The Son of God didn't have it easy. He didn't come in on flowery beds of ease. He didn't come in to this world with everything easy. He came into a hard life. He came into a poor life. He came into a rejected life. He didn't have it all stretched out for him easy. Make a note with that, parents. You know, making things easy for your kids, that doesn't help them all the time. Go back to our text, would you? 1 Peter chapter 4. So don't think it's strange. Oh, preacher, I don't know what's going on, you know. But it's just life. It's life. Ask God for help. Don't think it's strange. Well, I got this family problem. I got this financial problem. The whole world has a problem. But we have a God that we can go to get help from that in that problem. Think it not strange, he says, concerning the fiery trial. Look at that. The fiery trial, which is to try you. He says it's coming. God is going to try you. That takes us all the way back to chapter 1. Would you look at chapter 1 again? Remember when we were there? He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, you see that? Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God said, you know, you've got a fiery trial. You've got a trial of your faith to try your faith, to strengthen your faith, to help your walk with God. And I would remind you, church, that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. They don't just take a young man that goes into the Marine Corps and they look at him and they give him a gun and send him out. No, they try him. They put him through the furnace. They work on him. They tear him down. Why? Because you can't trust someone and just stick a gun in their hand and send them off to war. You've got to try them and test them and make sure they're proven so they're up for the task. Well, Christian, God's got a task for you. He's got a plan for you. And so many times what He'll do is He'll try you. He'll try and test you to fit you for this job, for the warfare, for the battle, for the glory of Jesus Christ and for His praise. He says that fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And notice what He says in the next verse, verse 13. So I would say, first of all, suffering's not strange. But He says, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. God is making you a little more like Jesus through suffering as a Christian because Christ suffered. He said in chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He talked about the sufferings of Christ back in chapter 2 when he said, for in chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. When we suffer, we enter into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We can, we should. That's the purpose of it. He suffered, we suffer. The Bible tells us in, I'll read it to you in Philippians chapter 1, He says in verse 29, He says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Jesus said in John 15, He says, you know, marvel not if the world hate you. The world hates you, it hated me. If it persecuted me, they'll persecute you. In other words, we become more like Jesus. God brings suffering in our life to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll suffer, as He said, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, he wants us to enter into that word. You know, that's the third time the word Christian's in the Bible. Only three times there. The Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Because they learned the Word of God, and they followed the Word of God, and they were living the life of Jesus Christ. Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then here, the Bible talks about suffering as a Christian. In other words, here's the call of my life. The call of my life is to be a Christian, to be like Jesus. To be a Christian doesn't mean I'm saved. There are a lot of saved people that aren't Christians. That's a strange thing to say. Because people use the word Christian as a designation of religion. But we're not a part of a religion. We're a part of a person. We have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a Christian is only someone that is living in the likeness of Jesus Christ. You can be saved. You can be a child of God. But if you're a Christian, somebody looked at you and you're the example and the ensample and the epitome of what Jesus Christ and His life was. And so we show that through our suffering, as we suffer like a Christian, as we suffer for acting and being like Jesus. And the more we're like Jesus, sometimes the harder things come in our life. Joseph, look at Joseph. Never was a greater type in the Bible for Jesus than Joseph. And look what all he suffered. But I bet you if he asked him when he was on the throne, said, Joseph, was it worth it? Joseph, you lost your mother. I tell you what, you read the life of Joseph and you read between the lines, there's a lot of pain right there in that boy's life. Your brother, your family hates you. Your family sells you into slavery. You're left to die. You never see your mother again as a young person. You're sold into a land, a foreign land that you've never been to in all your life with a bunch of heathen people that don't know God. You can never go to church. You can never be around anybody that believes the Word of God. Think about that now. And you're sitting in a prison thinking that God's forgotten all about you. Just because you did right, just because you loved righteousness, just because you loved what was right, you tried to do what was right. That's Joseph and all the hardship that came in his life. Ask him that as he's sitting on the throne. Ask Joseph, was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. It was worth it for me going, why was it worth it? Because much people were saved alive. I was the cause for my family to be delivered from the famine. I didn't know it, but God saved my family and He saved the world because I was willing to suffer and be the one that would be the Savior of the world because the whole world was going to die of hunger. He was like Jesus. I wonder, am I willing to be like Jesus? Or do I just want to have a life that's easy? He says, don't think it's strange. Would you look at verse 13 again? 1 Peter 4:13. I don't want to paint just a morbid picture, but I want to first of all say suffering is not strange. The second thing I want to say is, verse 13, but what? Rejoice. Suffering should not stop your rejoicing. But rejoice. Keep reading. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be, what's that next word? Glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, what's the next word? Happy. You know how many times over and over he's equating our happiness, our joy, our rejoicing with the fact that though we're going through intense problem and suffering and pain, that we're seeing Jesus in it and we can still have a smile. Let me say something. There is nothing spiritual about a frown. There is nothing spiritual about moaning and groaning about your problem. We all got them. But God said, a Christian, somebody that's experiencing the grace and mercy of God and the Spirit of God, is somebody that's constantly rejoicing. And I'll tell you, if you can rejoice in your suffering, if you can be happy in your suffering, if you can be glad in the midst of suffering, then there's nothing going to keep you from rejoicing. And there's nothing going to keep you from being glad. There's nothing going to keep you from being happy. And I really believe this. We are not Christian people or church people are not a good commercial for Jesus today. We ought to show the world the joy that they don't know and they don't have in their heart. You say, oh, preacher, I got it rough. Rejoice. You say, how do I do that? Do it on credit. Amen. Amen. Everybody else does everything else on credit. Isn't that right? Well, I don't have any money. Well, you don't care. You put it on credit. You say, well, I don't feel happy. Well, do it on credit. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. What, we read about the apostles when they were beaten, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the early book of Acts. They left that place rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, you can trust me with this problem. Thank you, Lord, you can trust me with this hardship. When you looked around, well, I'll never forget Brother Earl Hughes in heaven now. He came up to me and he'd say, Brother Brent, he said, I think God would be pleased, Brother Brent, if you had just asked Him to put the hardest thing on you He could think of. I said, Brother Earl, I'm not going to do that. And he laughed. I said, Brother Earl, have you done that? He said, yeah, I have. I said, you ask God to put on you the hardest thing He'd think of? Yeah, yeah. I said, but Brother Earl, He might do that. He said, yeah, I know. But he said, you know what my experience is? He said, my experience is that the lovely Lord just spoke in my heart and said, thank you for asking, Earl. Thank you for asking. Are we willing to do the hard things for the Lord if He'd have us to do that so that someone else might be rescued, so that someone else might get help? We can usually only comfort people with the same comfort that we've gone through. Rejoice. And the truth is, guys, we're the spoiled generation of God's children. We really are. The next step for these in 1 Peter, you know what it is Nero. Right around the corner is the Emperor Nero. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take Christians, he's going to put them on poles, he's going to put tar on them, he's going to light them, put them on fire, and light his gardens with the burning Christians. That's what he's going to do. And it's hard for you to go to church. You understand what I'm trying to say? And listen, the easier that it's gotten on the people of God has not resulted in more rejoicing. Some of the deadest places in the world are churches that believe the Bible. I wish it wasn't that way, but I'm just telling you the truth. Maybe it's because we've got it so easy that we've not had to go through the suffering to understand what rejoicing really is about. Rejoicing is, hey, praise the Lord, I'm looking above. I'm not looking at this light moment of my affliction. But I'm looking at eternal things that cannot be seen. And Jesus is coming. And one day I shall be relieved of this body of flesh. And one day I'm going to see Christ. And I'm going to be made like Christ. And my eyes are on things above, not on things on the earth. Rejoicing. Where is the happiness? Where is the gladness? I'm telling you, these people in the Bible had more troubles than you could ever dream about, and they had more joy, and they had more gladness, and they had more rejoicing and more happiness than probably we'll ever experience when everything's good for us. If we can't learn to rejoice now, how are you going to rejoice when it really gets hard? Jesus told the disciples, you know, He said, leap for joy in Matthew. When you're persecuted, just jump up and down, holler, run around, shout. Did you know that's in the Bible? That's one of those things Baptists don't believe, I guess. Well, let's read it, okay? Matthew 5, some of you look at me funny. How happy are you? How glad are you? You mean you got a refrigerator and air conditioning and a car to drive and clothes to wear? Amen. And God spoiled you rotten. I mean, God gave Brother Monty some land to put his cows and saved his life over here. When somebody had a wreck right in front of him, God just spoiled Monty to death. He ought to be jumping and shouting in here this morning. But we all should. God is, He daily loads us with benefits and gives us things we don't deserve. Now watch this. If we can't do it in the good times, He says here in Matthew chapter 5, look at it with me. Matthew chapter 5, let me find verse 10. Now watch this. We can't jump up and down and shout when there's not a problem. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know what really bugs you? You know what hurts you? You know what causes you not to be able to do some things? When people start talking bad about you. Well, they talk. You know what David said when they talk bad about him? Well, they're probably right. Maybe God told him to say that. But here, there, it's falsely. For my sake, Jesus says. Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He says, be exceeding glad. Not just a little bit glad, but exceeding glad. It ought to just bubble over in our lives. Because all that God has done for us, He didn't have to do anything else for us. Suffering should not stop your joy. And if it does, it's because you've never entered into the joy of the Lord. You don't understand that it doesn't depend on everything just going easy in your life. Go back to our text. Let's get another one. Suffering is not strange. Suffering should not stop your happiness. And I would say this, if you're not happy this morning in the Lord, why don't you ask why? And quit blaming every circumstance of life. Because here God tells them to have this happiness in the middle of their suffering. When you're suffering, God can become more real to you. Look at this verse. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So when we suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be accompanied by the Spirit of God resting on us. Jesus will never be more real to you than in the hard times of life. He can be really real to you if you'll go to Him. The Spirit of God resting on you. Case in point would be Stephen. Stephen, he's there and he's being stoned to death and he's filled with the Spirit of God as he's preaching and they're stoning them. They're gnashing on him with their teeth. And the Bible says his face is like an angel. You know why? Because the Spirit of God's on him. The Lord's with him. And he looks up into heaven and sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And just like Jesus, he asked God to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. The Spirit of God was real. God was real in his life. The presence of the Lord was real in his life. And through our hardship sometimes, God's trying to make himself known to you. And not just to be a religion, but to be a person that you need and that you walk with. The greatest Spirit-filled time in your life can be in the midst of suffering. And I'd say it's worth it. Go back to our text. He says, suffering's not strange, shouldn't stop your happiness. It can be accompanied with the Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is what? What's that word? Glorified. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him what? Glorify God on this behalf. In other words, Christian, whatever in your life causes you to bring glory to God is the best thing for your life. And if God can get glory out of you having to suffer and still have a heart for God and still have rejoicing and still have the right testimony and you go through that hardship, but you still love Him and you don't get bitter and you still come to Him and lay your life at His feet, if God can get glory from that, then that's more important than any other plan that you or I might have.
I don't understand why did Job have to go through all that? Only thing I can say is because at the end, God was glorified. God was justified. God was seen to be bigger than any problem, or bigger than any graveyard, or bigger than any disease, or bigger than any family problem, or bigger than having every friend leave you. God was bigger to Job than anything in the world. And God got glory, and God was exalted. If I look at my life, instead of looking at my life and worried about how it affects me, I say, Lord, how does this affect your testimony? And how do you get credit out of this? And how can you get a benefit out of this? And how can you get glory out of this? Because I was created not for myself, but for the glory of God. And whatever puts a smile on his face ought to put a smile on my face. And whatever brings praise to him ought to say, okay, Lord. How many of God's saints have, and I tell you what, I've not had to endure anything. And some of God's choice saints have had to endure pain that I can't even describe. But all I can say is that Jesus is worth it. And one day when we gather around the throne of God, that book says, when his glory shall be revealed, that verse I read, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also. When we get to heaven and we see all the pattern of our life was so that Jesus Christ could be lifted up. And when he's glorified, remember what Romans 8:17 says? If we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified together with him. The glory will be there together and he'll get the credit and we'll get to testify on the shores of glory. Yeah. I went through this, but Jesus was a wonderful Savior and a great shepherd, and he led me all the way. And he helped me each step of the way. The devil never helped me. My friends couldn't help me sometimes. And Jesus was a million miles away, but he was right there with me. He led me all the way. And if he can get glory through my problem, praise his name. And I'll just rejoice in spite of it and continue to lay my life at his feet.